You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Teach Us to Pray. Now, here is Dr. Schultz.
What would you say is one of the most burning religious questions that people throughout the United States and Canada are being troubled with today? To answer this question, the Religion Research Center at Princeton University recently released a detailed report. 9 out of 10 Americans pray, the report states, but some people are disappointed and even angry because they feel that God has failed to answer their prayer. Writing in Newsweek magazine several months ago, journalist Kenneth Woodward summarized similar feelings regarding prayer. Woodward states, "Most Americans say prayers every day, even though no one knows why only some prayers are answered." Famous journalists may try to claim that there is some great mystery as to why some prayers seem to go unanswered. This is no great mystery. The Bible is very clear why God hears some prayers and not others, and why God graciously seems to answer some prayers and not others. Jesus said, "Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Therefore, before you make any judgment whatsoever about whether your prayers are answered, you must first ask the key questions. Do your prayers even get into the throne room of God? And are you sure that you are coming to God in the way that He is asking you to approach Him? Canadians who want to be assured of speaking personally with their premier do not simply send some general letter or postcard to the top government office in Ottawa, hoping that their request will receive personal attention and a personal response from the premier. Likewise, Americans who desire to communicate personally with their president have little assurance that their president will hear and answer their concern unless they know someone who, in turn, knows the president personally. You simply have to have connections. Effectiveness in prayer and communicating with God works very much the same way. Thousands and even millions of prayers are offered up all over the world every day. Many of these pleas and petitions, however, never arrive at the throne room of God. And so the question now becomes why? Why does God not hear these prayers? And again, the biblical answer is very, very clear. In His grace and love, God has arranged, yes, God has arranged, that all who come to Him must come through the proper channel and the way that He Himself has established. Jesus says, "I am the door. I am the way to God. No one comes to the Father except through me." In the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 2, we read, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Now, when you and I first hear what God requires of us, when we pray and that if we want God to hear our prayer, we must come through Jesus, this information may tempt us to say of God, "Oh, how loveless, how narrow-minded for Him to say that we must come through Jesus Christ." We are then also tempted to believe that God is the problem. He is the one who has put up the barriers, established the conditions, and set forth the limitations. But no, my friend, this is not the reason. God is not the cause of unanswered prayer. God has not erected barriers between us and Himself. Yes, my friend, you and I are the ones, we are the ones who have put up the barriers and the fences between our sinful self and our gracious and our loving God. The Bible says that our sins have erected this barrier, and therefore, if you and I were not sinners, then we could talk to God directly just like Adam and Eve did in the garden every day. Sin immediately established the impossible and impenetrable wall. Thanks be to God, however, in His grace, God removed this barrier so that you and I can once again talk to our loving Heavenly Father. In His grace, God sent His Son, Jesus, to burst through these barriers, through this wall between us and our loving God. Now, in Jesus Christ, we can come to God every day in confidence and in great joy. And for this reason, Jesus is now saying to you and to me, especially when we pray, I am the gate, I am the door, I am the opening unto God. I love you, Jesus says, therefore I now invite you to go through me. Through me, our Savior says, your prayers will be heard and they will be answered. A second reason some of our prayers may seem to go unanswered is because in His love, God knows that some of our requests might not be good for us. For example, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20, the Bible explains how one day the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her two sons. The lady bowed down and then she made a request. What do you wish? Jesus asked. This lady then said to Jesus, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left. Jesus, however, said to the lady, you do not know what you are asking for. Jesus then went on to lovingly explain to the lady that if her two sons wanted to be near him, they would also have to suffer with him. Oh, without a doubt, Jesus is often saying the same thing to you and to me. Even though you and I may be absolutely convinced that we need this or that we need that, out of His perfect love, our blessed and love-filled Savior frequently responds to our prayers by saying, you do not know what you are asking for when you pray. Indeed, too often, you and I pray for things that are selfish, things that end up being harmful to us. Oh, how we lust for the riches of this world. In the short term, these worldly goods may seem to be a great blessing. In fact, we are frequently convinced that we simply cannot live without them. However, in the long term, some of these material goods for which we pray turn out to be not only a burden, but even a curse. Knowing how to pray prayers that please God is not something that we are born with, my friend. Even Christians sometimes become discouraged, as St. Paul writes. We sometimes do not know how to pray. But praise God for His wisdom, my friend, for it is when we feel that we know not how to pray, and when we feel we know not what to pray for, yes, it is precisely then that the Spirit of God has prepared us for prayer which pleases our Lord. For when we are in this helpless dilemma, then God's Spirit reminds us that the first thing God wants us to do in prayer is to listen to Him and to hear what He is saying to us. You see, God-pleasing prayer is always a two-way conversation. First, God speaks to us in His Word, and then we respond to Him. And when you follow this gracious prayer principle of listening first to God and then responding, then your entire life will be changed. You will then begin to have, in the words of St. Paul, the mind of Christ. And then with Jesus' thoughts controlling your thinking, you will find yourself praying for things which please not yourself but God. And your prayer concerns will turn away from yourself and towards your Heavenly Father. Instead of asking for more and more, your prayers will be a series of thank yous to God. Thus, enabled by God's Word and Spirit, you will then find yourself saying with the psalmist, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Again, the psalmist says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all thy wonders. I will be glad and exult in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High God. Oh, how blessed are the prayers of the psalmist. In fact, whenever you want to be sure that God is happy with your prayers, and that He will hear all your prayers offered in Jesus' name, and then He will answer your prayers, then first listen to Him. Read the Psalms regularly. For centuries, the Psalms have been called God's prayer book. Your Heavenly Father is delighted whenever you and I read the Psalms. But even more, He is absolutely thrilled when you and I respond to Him according to His Word. And so then, my friend, God is inviting you to come to Him in prayer. He has promised to both hear and answer all prayers directed to Him in Jesus' intercessory name. Prayer is one of the great privileges that God has given you. But if you are going to pray, then do it on God's terms and not your own. You see, God created the entire universe, and He knows more than all the scientists, all the philosophers, all the engineers, and all the doctors in the whole world. God created you, and He knows what you need, what is good for you, and what is not good for you. God also understands that some things for which you pray might appear to be good for you in the short term. In the long term, however, these same things might be very, very harmful. And so for this reason, whenever you pray, pray, "Thy will, O Lord, and not my will be done." And then as you pray, always know with joy in your heart that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins and to break down the barrier between you and God. Jesus is now interceding on your behalf before the Father's throne. Jesus does this because He has already taken away the barrier that you set up between you and your Heavenly Father through your sins. However, this barrier between you and God has been removed. It was removed when Jesus died on the cross. And therefore, when you pray, the Spirit of God will enable you to pray in confidence in the intercessory name of Jesus. Yes, my dear friend, pray to God with the same confidence with which a child speaks to his father. A story is told how in a European country many years ago, the citizens were preparing to crown their new king. Crowds lined the street as the new king was carried in the procession. A 12-year-old boy began pushing his way through the crowd. He got as far as the guards, and then he tried to get past them as well. They stopped him and they said, "You can't go through here. Don't you know that this man is the king?" The 12-year-old boy replied, "He may be the king, but he is also my dad." Through Jesus Christ, my dear friend, you can approach the throne of God with the same confidence that this boy approached his father, the king. In Jesus Christ, God has lovingly adopted you as His child. And in prayer, now tell God everything that is on your mind. God will indeed hear you, and He will also answer you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.